Our scripture reading this morning is from Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 13. So Christ gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. These are the words of God for the people of God.
We're talking about values. We're wrapping up our conversation about values. The Adaptive Change team talked and kind of said, hey, okay, in this new age, is this who we are? Is this who we're becoming? We've got these cards at the end of the pews, and so you kind of tell us at the end of each week, you just kind of write a note if you kind of feel like this reflects you or not. And then you just leave that face down on your pew, and then we pick those up. And so far, so good. So far, it looks like the Adaptive Change team has done a good job kind of in these values reflecting who we are as a broader congregation. Now, the value we're talking about this morning is this. It is God calls all persons into leadership and ordination within the church and the world. And so with these values, the Adaptive Change team came up with them and then brought them before the board and got the board's input. And the board kind of helped us with this. Originally, we had kind of God calls men and women into leadership and ordination. And so the board's kind of guidance to us was, why not just say, that's all persons, right? So God calls all persons into this type of leadership and ordination. And so that's what we have done. It's just a very generalized statement. It just doesn't get much more general than all persons, right? All persons. And all persons should hopefully represent the diversity of our congregation, the diversity of our community. Hopefully our church is as diverse as our community is diverse. I think you can probably say that for us. In the end, we need people to rise. We need people to rise to the occasion of lay leadership within the church. And we need people to rise to ordination within our churches. We need people within our churches to sense a call to pastoral ministry, to serve congregations, to honor the church in that way. And today is a new day, right? We know today's a new day because it feels like 10:30, or is it 11:30? It feels like 11:30, but you know it's 10:30, and so today's definitely a new day because we've bounced forward. But it is just a new day in the sense of every day before us is a new day, and with every new day, things change. Things change within our culture. Things change within our church. Things change within our lives. It's a new day. And so new leadership, ordained pastoral ministry, these are all helpful things. So as an example of this, I'll give you an example of how we're living into this new need for new leadership. How many doctors and medical providers did people have to choose from 100 years ago? Right? Yeah, you went to the doctor. And you had a doctor, and I did fact check this, by the way. I did look it up, and it is pretty true that in most places you had a doctor that you could kind of consult with. Is that true today? No. So let's talk about this. We have like you go see what's your main doctor called? Your primary care doctor. Another doctor you might see is a specialist, an ophthalmologist, cardiologist, endocrinologist, psychiatrist. Yeah, thank you. Why'd you look at me when you said that? Huh? Yeah, Like there's so many different doctors and medical professionals that you can go see, that you will go see, right? What's the deal? You only have one body. Aren't you just one body? One body with many parts. And it used to be that one body, many parts was cared for maybe by one professional. But what we realized is that, man, all these parts work differently and operate differently. And so therefore, you need a different doctor for all your different parts. And they've got to kind of work together on those things and all the different things that can happen. Now, you may not, and even you know, throughout the week, I've had this conversation with folks. You may not like the phone calls and the scheduling. And my wife does medical scheduling, so you know she's always here for the complaints that you might have, right, sweetie? If people have, right? Like, now not with Mercy, but you know. So she knows all about scheduling, and then you have insurance needs, right? And the insurance people you sometimes have to talk to, and all these different like rigmarole of healthcare. But aren't we fortunate to have so many specialists that we have as a part of our healthcare bubble? Now, and so you may not like all the challenges that you got to jump through to sometimes get with your specialist and to get with your doctor. The other thing you may not like is there may be a thing about your medical professional that you just don't care for when you get to see your medical professional, right? You may not like that your medical professional is maybe a completely different nationality, right? They may not be from here originally, but they've moved here and now they're practicing here. You may struggle with their dialect. They may be kind of hard to understand as you're talking to them. That might be a challenge. And yet, that individual is a trained medical professional, right? That's why they're here. And your doctor, you may walk in, and your doctor may seem really young. You may make the joke about Doogie Howser, and your doctor doesn't get the joke. Because your doctor's too young to remember Doogie Howser. You may walk in and be like, gosh, what are you, like 25, 26? And right? Might be the case. And yet, that very young doctor has the DR in front of the name and is a trained, qualified professional, right? There to do good work. So you can just kind of fill in the blank. Just fill in the blank, the different characteristic about your doctor that when you get in at first you're kind of a little maybe alarmed by or hesitant about. And yet that is a trained, qualified professional who is there. And it may not seem this way at times. You may feel kind of rushed, right? Or whatever, overlooked. But they really are focused on your health and healing process. Like, that's why they got into the medical field, is for that very reason. And so we have today a rich diversity of trained, qualified medical professionals who are here to help us. And so, and we're also, I think, fortunate to live in a day today where we are reducing limiting factors for all kinds of people going into medical health care, right? We are reducing all kinds of factors, like maybe, you know, skin color used to be a limiting factor, but not today. Maybe gender would have been, but not today. Or nationality, or orientation, or socioeconomic class, or dialect, right? We live in a different age today. And so really the right question today is probably what the right question should have been years ago, but maybe wasn't. The right question is, can you do the job as a trained, qualified medical professional? Can you do that job? Because doesn't it seem like we don't have enough medical people doing, like, isn't that why we have to wait? Like, you know, we need to get you into a specialist. Okay, well, this is November 3rd. When can I get into my specialist? Well, probably February 25th, we can get you into a specialist. And so there's just great need for medical folks. So it's my daughter is here this morning. She's going into nursing, and I know that because she's going into nursing, she's going to be able to probably pick, you know, any place that she wants to go, because every place needs nurses right now. Every place needs doctors. So transition this to the church, right? Like, we're having this kind of conversation about calling today. Aren't we fortunate that we live in a nation and in an age and in a denomination where the church calls for a rich diversity of both leaders within the church, but also ordained leadership within the church? That we're calling for a rich diversity of those folks. To do what? To serve the body of Christ. To serve the church. Not to be about themselves or their own thing, but to serve the body of Christ. Now, our passage that Sarah so well read for us, right? Our passage is referring to, the author's referring to the church as the body of Christ, right? And like, that's meant to be a comparison. It's meant to make you think about your body and how it works and operates, and the church and how the church works and operates, that one body, many parts. And so the author says, look, what are we doing within the church? Why are we doing it? Well, we're doing it because we want the church to be built up. Why should it be built up? Well, it should be built up so that it is able to do works of service. Action, these action things. Sarah at our bed build thing made the joke yesterday. She was, we got to build beds, and she was like, "That was good. That's, you know, us Methodists. We like to do stuff, right?" And so we got to do stuff, and it is important, right? Because right here it's laying out that yeah, we should be doing stuff as a result of the body being built up. Working, functioning, healthy body is the goal. One body, many parts, not just here, around the world this morning. And all those places need pastors. They need elders and deacons and local licensed pastors. And within Methodism, we have all kinds of different opportunities for people who sense a calling, that God is calling them to provide for the church in a specific way. And we need lay leadership. We always need lay leadership. People who are growing, who are caring for others, who are willing to support the body, who have a desire to help, right? We're always looking to expand our lay leadership. The body of Christ suffers without healthy, proper lay leadership and ordained leadership. In the same way that we struggle maybe with our healthcare system being overwhelmed, and people struggle when we don't get enough of those folks in that place, the church stands to struggle. And I would say that when, even like with a hospital and a church, when you don't have proper leadership, the whole community suffers. The community suffers when those folks aren't in place within those different areas. And so our scripture, it says to us, here are all these ways that we can serve. And so the author says we need apostles and prophets and teachers and pastors. And those were very common roles in those days within the churches, those different things. And today we may have some of the same spirit of some of those things, but we don't have it in specific ways. But what are the ways? Like, when you think about our church, when you think about the roles that we need, what are the roles that we're always trying to fill here at the church? What are those things? Teachers, Sunday school teachers. What? Children's ministry, volunteers there, yeah. What else? Prayer people. Music people. Ushers, communion servers, yeah. We need people to serve on our board, right? We need people to help keep an eye on things, right? To just kind of be present in that way. And the fact of the matter is, like, what we need changes a little over time, doesn't it? Like, there are things that we don't require anymore that maybe once upon a time, role-wise, we did. And so it just depends on the season that the church is in. Depends on the age of the church and the demographic and the size of the church may have roles that smaller churches don't need. And you this morning, you can remember pastors and staff and lay leaders who tended to the health of the body of Christ who are part of your, you know, maybe young story, right? And so today is All Saints Day, and so let's do some remembering right now. Let's remember who were the pastors and the lay leaders who were formative in your spiritual education and in your life. What were their names? Okay. Who else? Gene Rooney? Pat Taylor? Pat Shoemate? Okay. Virginia O'Quinn. Carla Lo Phelps is still alive. So that's all right. That's okay. It's all right. Try to kill you off, Carla. Not time yet. Yeah, these are all folks that Heather, who? Helen Cowan, Mary Pruitt. Yeah. All important people, all a part of your story because they said yes to serve as lay leaders within their church or pastors in their church, right? I remember Pastor Bob McCombs. Pastor Bob was, when I became a youth director, I was 21 years old, and I started working. And God bless Bob McCombs. I'm surprised I didn't drive that man to an early grave. And, you know, who knows? But just found out a couple years ago that he had gotten cancer, and I didn't know it. So I got to annual conference, and they read his name on the list of pastors who had gone on. But it's because of Pastor Bob McCombs who sat me down one day and said, "Have you thought about being a pastor before?" Yeah, maybe. Right? And that led to more conversations because of Pastor Bob. So today, remember that God calls all people, all types of people, into lay leadership within our church, ordination within the larger church. United Methodism needs pastors, people called to shepherd, who have a calling to shepherd. Our church needs lay leadership, people who want to lead here. We're going to be starting the nomination process soon, and so we're going to be looking for people with administrative gifts and ministry gifts, and so you might think about that, and you don't need to wait for us to call you. You might want to call me, right? If you feel like you've got an administrative gift and want to be able to serve the church in that way. Serving the body is a part of your faith journey. It's part of your faith journey, and it's a part of being on the journey is what we do here. How we help one another. Remember, we live in a day and an age where we are reducing limiting factors in leadership. We're reducing these limiting factors that have maybe limited people in the past, but not today. Have you ever had to change insurance companies, right? You change insurance companies. Do they still ask for pre-existing conditions like they used to? Okay, that used to be a thing. You remember that? When they were asking for pre-existing conditions, and then you had to let them know that with your new insurance company, and then they wouldn't support you in that pre-existing condition, which tended to be the most important thing you needed support in. It really defined who you kind of were medically in that day and age, right? That's kind of who you were. Here's what's equally bad, right? What's equally bad as the church saying you can't do something because of this pre-existing condition, a part of who you are, right? As bad as us saying you can't do it is you saying you can't do something because of this pre-existing condition whatever it is that you have that seems to be a limiting factor to you. Or you telling God, like God calling you into something. Him trying to motivate you into something and you saying to God, "God, I can't do this because of this pre-existing condition. I just can't do it," right? God, I would love to lead in my church, but or I would love to be a pastor, but God, you know I would serve in your church, but, right? Well, you know what you can do with that big old but? Right? You can keep it behind you. Keep it behind you. Your big old but is not a pre-existing condition that the United Methodist Church will take into account as an excuse as to why you can't lead in your church or as a pastor if God calls you to be a pastor, if you're called to do it, if you're called to that thing. It didn't stop God from calling Moses or Jonah or Peter or Mary. When we say, but Lord, perhaps you should call someone else to do this. Perhaps you should ask someone else to do this. So here at First United Methodist Church, we believe God calls all people into leadership, into pastoral ministry and lay leadership, regardless of your big old butt. Right? That's what we believe here. The question is not, is it me, Lord? The question is, Lord, where shall I serve and lead in your church? That's the question. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today, and we thank you that we live in a day and an age where you are broadening the call. And so, Lord, I would pray that anyone here this morning who senses a specific call would respond to that. Wherever that is, whether it be to pastoral ministry or to lay leadership, Lord, whatever it is, help us obey the call that you have put before us. I thank you for everyone who has done that. And I thank you for everyone that will do it. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.